Turn with me. We're going to be in two places. Turn initially to Philippians chapter 2. And then it's just, in my Bible, it's just one page over. We're going to go back to Ephesians 5:18 in just a second. But I want to read for you by introductory material, Philippians 2, 5 through 13. You see on the screen up there, it's a little bit small, and I apologize for that. This is some of the material that I shared down at the men's retreat at the Iowa Association of Regular Baptist Churches for all the GRBC churches across the state of Iowa. And I thought it was appropriate because we've reached that verse, Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I want to talk to you tonight about what it means to be filled with the Spirit, how that happens. And I need you to dial in. And one of the reasons I gave you that sheet of paper is because you're going to have that to really follow along because it's going to be complex. We're going to be using hermeneutics. And what do we believe as far as hermeneutics? Obviously, we believe in historical, literal, grammatical, contextual, theological examination of the Word of God, because that's exactly what the New Testament authors did with the Old Testament and the Old Testament authors did with other Old Testament passages. Philippians chapter 2, let me read for you on how to become a servant like Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Verse 12. Wherefore, or because of this, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the subject matter that I'm going to be sharing tonight is dealt with across the landscape of Christianity with terrible confusion. And so, Lord, it is my earnest prayer that as I share forth this biblical truth in a very concise and accurate way, that, Lord, you would help each one of us to understand what it means to be filled with the Spirit and what you taught by your Spirit and deposited in the Word of God. So, again, give me the enablement through wisdom and thoughtful and clarity of mind. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be looking at several things, and you have your sheet in front of you, but let's just do the introductory thing. Paul has just finished his, in Philippians chapter 2, his introductory remarks and about how he's been advancing the gospel in Rome. And he begins with a focus on Christ-like humility, which is something all of us need. This is, of course, our model to aspire to if we're going to serve the Lord. We need to become Christ-like. This is the gateway to genuine service. And I'm going to suggest unto you that all service for God must be done through us becoming Christ-like. And otherwise, the motive will be, hey, we're doing something for God to gain favor with God. Servanthood is the genuine manifestation of progressive sanctification, becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ and getting sin out of our lives. Thus, all authentic service for Christ is generated by becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So how does service begin? Well, back in Ephesians chapter 5, what is Ephesians 5 all about? We've been studying that. Well, it's the walk of love for the Lord, isn't it? It's the walk of love for the Lord. And as you begin, he says, I want you to be in 5:1, I want you to be imitators of God. And then in verse 3 and the following, he says, I don't want immorality to be a part of your life. And don't speak like the world, verse 6. Don't be a partaker with them. Because, verse 8, you used to be in darkness. But now, verse 9, you need to produce the fruit that the Spirit of God wants to produce in your life, which is two things, righteousness and goodness. So you need to screen things out of your life that are keeping you from being Christ-like. Verse 10, prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. Verse 11, don't have fellowship with darkness, and don't talk like the world, be entertained like the world, and do jestful things like the world. And verse 14, he said, you need to awake, thou that sleepest. If this isn't a part of your life, wake up. And you need to walk circumspectly. You need to be careful about how you live your day, redeeming the time. In verse 16, and don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of God is for your life. Hey, are you living out the will of God for your life? Well, what is that will? Well, look what it says in verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, what does filling with the Holy Spirit really mean? What is it teaching? Well, submission begins with this. And what we're going to look at the meaning. The word filled comes from the Greek word pleroute. You see it actually in the little booklet that we shared down there. I transliterated it, but you have the actual Greek in front of you, and that's okay. Just look at the letters, because you're going to see the core root of the word, the first part. It's pleroute. Be continually filled. Now, the second part, the meaning with the Spirit. In the Greek, it was en pneumatai. Now, why am I giving you the details of this? I'm giving you the details of this is because who wrote this? God, the Holy Spirit, wrote this. And he wants us to understand it very specifically, very concisely. He wants us to understand what he's teaching here. So, submission to God is going to advance your progressive sanctification. The filling of the Spirit must be accompanied by the fulfilling our biblical responsibilities and also letting God do that in our lives. You notice a little quote on the side there by J.C. Ryle. Sanctification is, again, a thing that depends greatly on the diligent use of scriptural means. When I speak of means, I have in view Bible reading, private prayer, regular attendance on public worship, regular hearing of God's word, and regular reception of the Lord's Supper. Why would that be important? So that you keep confessed up and prayed at. I lay it down as the simple matter of fact that no one who is careless about such things must ever expect to make progress in sanctification. We're going to go on to the next particular page, the meaning of pleroute and pneumatai, the meaning of and be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, we're going to take a hermeneutical look at this, and we believe in a historical, literal, contextual, grammatical, theological study. I'm going to pick out the grammatical aspect, and we're going to see what the Holy Spirit wants to communicate by the grammatical understanding. Now, there are two key, obviously there's multiple different words, adjectives, all kinds of conjunctions, everything. But for the nouns and verbs in Greek, a verb, in order to understand what it's saying, has what's called tense, voice, and mood. The tense tells you when to do it. Is it something that's happening now? Is it something you need to do in the future? Or is it something that already happened? The voice means who is doing this? Are you doing it? Am I doing it? Are we doing it together? Is God doing it for us? Are we all doing it collectively? And the mood means that this is something that God is suggesting that you do. God hopes that you're going to do it. Or it can be an imperative mode. That means God is commanding you to do it. A noun has gender, number, and case. A noun can be feminine. The word for man is anthropos. Those last words, os, or last letters, os, means that that is masculine. When you're going to change it to feminine, you use the same word, except it's anthrope. That means that would be saying a woman. If you said anthropon, that would mean an it, something like a tree. And so understanding the noun, it has, gender. What is it? Who is he talking to? But the second one is going to become very important in looking at nouns. And I'm explaining this, and please hang in here with me. Because God the Holy Spirit wrote this in a very specific way for you to understand something. It has gender, but it also has number. The number is involving who's involved. And the way that we learn it, the numbers goes nominative, genitive, dative, accusative, vocative, are the breakdown in the Hebrew, which means it is, and if I translate that into an actual sentence structure, it's I am, you are, he is, we are, they are. That's the nominative, genitive, dative, accusative, and vocative. It tells you who's going on. And then it has mood. And that tells you exactly what God is saying for us to do. Okay, enough said about that. Pleirousthe and pneumatai. We need to look at that. The word pleirousthe, to be filled with the Spirit. The idea behind that, it is what we call a dative of means. In other words, it is saying that he is doing something for you and me. That is the grammatical structure of that. It's very specific. Now, there are two kinds of datives in the Greek. There is a dative of content and there is a dative of means. And it's critically important that you understand the difference between the two. A dative of content would mean, let's say I want to fill a pool with water. Okay, if the content was water, I'd say, I want to fill that pool with the water. So here it says, be filled with the Spirit. If it was a dative of content, it would be saying that you need your life to be filled up with the Holy Spirit. And the idea is, everybody knows that we don't get more of the Holy Spirit, and they often use the phrase, he gets more of us. That still is in error. That is not a biblical statement. As you're going to see very clearly, grammatically, what God is going to say here, it is not a dative of content. The idea behind it, though, if it was, fill a pool with water. In other words, we would be filled up with the Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit would take so much control of us that literally we would be what God would want us to be, or we would be able to live out the Word of God and quit sinning. That misunderstanding is why so many people fail in living the victorious Christian life. Because they see it as some mystical sense. In other words, if I can get the Holy Spirit to fill me up, please fill me, Holy Spirit, that I no longer sin. That actually is an unbiblical, unscriptural prayer. And we're going to learn from what the Holy Spirit wrote in this grammatical study just exactly what he does mean. And that is not what he's teaching. That is not what he means. Because it is not a dative of content. If it was, it would be like filling a tire with air, fill one's stomach with food and liquid, fill a tooth cavity with amalgam or some kind of composite so you don't have a cavity sticking out. But this is grammatically what we call a dative of means. Now let me clearly say what this is teaching. In other words, if I want to fill a pool, I'm going to use a hose. You know, if I said to Rusty, go outside and I want you to fill the pool with a hose. And I went out there a little later on and the pool was full of hose. What value would that to me? You know, did he literally take what I said and go do it? Sure. But I'm going to walk up and say, hey, brother, I appreciate the help and your willingness, but let's get all the hose out of the pool and now take the hose, hook it up to the spigot and run water in the pool. I didn't mean a dative of content, did I? I didn't mean that you filled up the pool with a hose. I meant that you filled it up by the means of the hose. The pool became filled with something else. So you see, the Holy Spirit chose this particular word in a very specific way. He is saying, I don't want you to be filled up with me. He's saying, by me, I want you to be filled up with something. So we're doing what? A hermeneutical study. We're doing a grammatical, and I'm going to do a contextual in just a minute, but I'm trying to prove to you, because many of the preachers, many of the movements out there are teaching you that what you need is the fullness of the Holy Spirit and you will quit sinning. Well, what do they mean by that? They're saying if the content of the Holy Spirit can somehow mystically begin to control in your life, you'll become so that you no longer sin. Is that what God the Holy Spirit taught in Ephesians? And the answer to that is absolutely not. Grammatically, absolutely not. It flunks the hermeneutical test. So, you fill a pool with a hose, you fill a tire with an air compressor, you fill one's stomach with eating and drinking, you use the utensils. So, the one who fills, and this is what we're going to take a look at, a contextual study to see how this happens. I promised you tonight we're going to show you exactly what the full filling of the Holy Spirit means. The one who fills us is literally Jesus Christ. And you're going to be filled up with Jesus Christ, not the Holy Spirit. And yet it's the Holy Spirit is by the means of the Holy Spirit. It's a dative of means. By the means of the Holy Spirit, you are going to be filled with Christ's likeness and believers. And it's through the Word of God that this is going to be accomplished into your life. On to the next page. There are four occurrences of filled in the book of Ephesians. Now what have I done? We've looked at it grammatically. Is it grammatically true to say that the Holy Spirit is going to be the means which I am filled with Jesus Christ? Is that an accurate statement based on the grammatical study? Yes, it is. I am going to be filled up with Jesus Christ, and it's Christ who's actually going to do that. Now, how and whom is he going to use to do that in my life? He's going to use the indwelling Holy Spirit. Am I going to get more of the Spirit? Am I going to be filled up with the Spirit per se? No. It is by the means of the Holy Spirit I will be filled with Christ's likeness, with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will be filled with him. And that is what's going to actually be the dominating effect in my life. So, now, we've looked at a grammatical study. Now, let's see if context agrees with that. How is this word filled, pleroustē, how is that used in the entire book of Ephesians? Because if the definition that I just gave you is true, should it not be true throughout the entire book? That's exactly right. So, we're not just using our grammatical study, we're using our contextual study to see if this is true. So, look at use number one. Use number one, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. And have put all things under his feet. Who's the subject of that particular sentence? It is Jesus Christ. All things have been put on subject under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Who's the head of the church? Jesus Christ is the head of the church, of which you are a part. Then Paul describes in verse 23, which is his body, the fullness, and there's our word. It comes from the root word pleiro, and this one is pleroma, is the fullness that filleth pleroumenu, which is the same Greek word with a different ending, all in all. So let me read that without interjecting the Greek. And put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness that filleth all in all. So who is doing the filling in that particular verse? Clearly, it is Christ that is doing the filling. And Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 says that he gave him to be the head of the church, which is the body, the fullness that filleth all in all. Who's the one that filleth? It is literally the head of the church. It is Jesus Christ. So grammatically, who are you to be filled with? The Holy Spirit or the Lord Jesus Christ? And who is the one who's actually filling here? Grammatically, it's Christ. Contextually, already in this verse, how is the word used? Plero, same Greek word, same root word. It says you're being filled with Jesus Christ, not being filled up with the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is the means by which you are filled up with Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:19. And to know the love of Christ. Who's the subject of that sentence again? Jesus Christ is the subject of that sentence. Which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled, pleroustēte, with all the fullness, pleroma, of God. You see, it's saying there, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with what? The love of Jesus Christ. Again, Christ does the filling, the fullness of God. It is Christ's likeness. It is righteousness, that you might be filled with the love of Christ and the attributes, the aspects, the content, the character of Jesus Christ. And who is going to fill you? Christ is the one who's the pleroma. He is the one who's going to fill you. And whom is he going to use to fill you? The indwelling Spirit of God. Are you going to be filled with the Spirit? Or are you going to be filled by the means of the indwelling Holy Spirit with what Jesus Christ is like? Now, why is this distinction so critical to understand? It is because if you don't understand that Jesus Christ wants to fill you with who he is, He wants you to be like him morally. He wants you to be like him spiritually. He wants you to be like him ethically. He wants you to love like him. He wants you to serve like him. He wants you to be like himself. And so he put the Holy Spirit within you. And the Spirit of God is the means by which Jesus Christ will fill you with himself. And I'll explain exactly how that works in just a minute. But what we've got to do some mental surgery. Because down through the years you've heard sermons on you need to be filled with the Spirit. And when you're filled with the Spirit, you'll quit sinning and you can live for God and everything's going to go great. That is not what the Spirit of God taught in Ephesians. That is not grammatically correct and it's not contextually correct, is it? That's not what those verses are teaching. We're looking at every occurrence of filling in the book of Ephesians, the context to Ephesians 5:18, Ephesians 4:10. He that descended, and who is that? Who descended down to die for us on the cross? Jesus Christ did. He that descended is the same that also ascended far above the heavens. Who was that? Who did that for us? Jesus Christ. That he might do what? Pleroustē, all things, that he might fill all things. In other words, all things need to be filled with his will, with what he wants in our lives. Again, who does the filling? Christ is doing the filling, right? Christ is doing the filling. So many people in the holiness movement and the charismatic movement and many other movements, they say, you know what? If I can just surrender myself enough, if I can just be filled with the Spirit of God, I will be able to walk in obedience and faithfulness to Christ. The problem is that really sounds good and it preaches really well, but it's not scriptural. It's not what the Bible teaches, grammatically nor contextually. In this key passage of Scripture, by the way, Philippians and Colossians agree. So, he that descended is the same that also ascended far above the heavens that he might fill, pleroustē, all things. Again, Christ does the filling. Now, let's look at our last verse, the one that we started with. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled, pleroustē, with the Spirit and pneumatai by the means of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the means by which we are filled with Christ's likeness. Now, how does he do this? How does this actually apply to our lives? Ephesians 5:18, it comes through submission to what the Spirit of God wants to accomplish in your life. I'm going to give a little more explanation, and then I'm going to give some concise, descriptive things so that you can understand this. All right. Be filled. The Greek verb filled is present passive imperative. Let me tell you what that means. Present tense. It means that you are to be letting the Spirit of God make you to be like more like Jesus Christ, that Christ, by the means of the Spirit, would make you more like him presently right now. But it's very interesting. The subject, which is us, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The voice of this is passive in the Greek. You know what that means? That means that's not something you do. It means that it's something that God, the Holy Spirit, is going to do. And he is going to, in the last one, it's an imperative, which means it's a command. So you need to let the Holy Spirit be the means by which you are made like Jesus Christ. And it isn't something that you can accomplish yourself. So, here's a key thing. Do you want to overcome sin in your life? It isn't just trying harder. It isn't just more discipline. It isn't just working at it better, even though it will involve all of those things to a degree. But if you could overcome sin by that means, what part does God play and do you even need him? No, you don't. So in other words, if you're going to be an overcomer of sin, you have to become like Jesus Christ. You have to become like Jesus Christ. So the simple statement, it's a fact, be filled with the Spirit. This is occurring in actual time, every moment of every day. Here's how it works. You get up in the morning and you go about your day, and it's the way that you talk to each other as a husband and wife. It's a way that we, you know, how we pay our bills, how we work, how we do stuff, however it is in our lives. God said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What does he want you to do? As you walk about, as you live your daily life, as you go about to do whatever you do, you're supposed to be like whom? Like your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, you were predestined to be conformed to the image of God. God wants you to be like the Lord Jesus Christ as you go about. And so you need to, in reality, do that. How does that happen? You are indwelt by the Spirit of God. And let me ask you a question. What is the Spirit of God going to use to make you like the Son of God? What is he going to use? He's going to use the Word of God. Who is the Word? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father. Who is literally the Word, and who has given us the eternal Word? God the Son has given us that. And he's given us that so that we can become like the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Spirit of God that wants to take the Word of God and fill you with it. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? He wants you to think like Christ. He wants you to love like Christ. He wants you to live like Christ. He wants you to communicate like Christ. He wants you to have the moral character of Christ. He wants you to have the spiritual characteristics of Christ, right? You were predestined to be conformed to the image of God. Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in the Holy Spirit. No, which was also in Christ Jesus. He wants you to become like Christ. So, John 16 makes it very clear. Jesus said, when I send you the Holy Spirit, he is in the Greek word, parakletos, para, the one who's parallel, comes alongside, kletos, he's the helper. He's the one who's going to come alongside and help you to become like Jesus Christ. Now, do you see how it can destroy your complete understanding of how to live for God if you think that when you get up in the morning, you know what I need today? I need to be filled up with the Spirit, a dative of content. I need to be filled up with the Spirit of God. And as I'm filled up with the Spirit of God, I will be able to overcome sin. That is an absolute lie. The Holy Spirit wants to take the Word of God and fill you with Christ's likeness, fill you with the Son of God. And his role, his responsibility. What did he say in John chapter 16? I will send the Spirit and he shall guide you into all truth. He is the one that will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. For those of us, he's going to illumine us to what the Word of God says. And he's going to enable us to become like the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But all over this world, you turn on the radio, it's saying, folks, what you need to do is walk in the Spirit. You need to be filled with the Spirit. You need to let the Spirit of God fill you up so that you can quit sinning in your life. And what they mean by that is clearly not what the Scriptures are teaching, is it? Grammatically, do we believe in hermeneutics? A historical, literal, contextual, grammatical study? The grammatical study said, no, that's not true. The contextual study said, no, that's not true. Every use of plural in the book of Ephesians said Christ does the filling. So this verb represents the subject as being the recipients of the action. It is literally the Spirit of God is going to do that for you and me. And then it's imperative. It is a command to the hearer to perform a certain action by the order and authority of the one commanding. And who is the one commanding? That is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Matthew Henry said, to walk with God is to set God always before us and to act as those that are always under his eye. Who's his? Jesus. It is to live a life of communion with God, both in ordinances and in providences. It is to make God's word our rule and his glory our end in all our actions and to be workers together with him. And that's from his commentary in Genesis 5. What does Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 tell you to do? Looking unto the Holy Spirit. Now, that's not what it says. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. You see, What the devil often does is takes a Bible doctrine and brings confusion so that when the confusion comes, you will fail in its application. So here's the deal. If you believe that being filled with the Spirit is more of the content of the Holy Spirit, and you say, you know what I need today? I really need the Holy Spirit to just fill me so that, you know, He takes away all the wrong desires and He takes away all these. And if all that is gone, by the filling of the Spirit, I will be what God wants me to be. And you fail. Then whose fault is it then? Well, you say, I didn't get filled enough. So now I need another filling. Maybe I need to be, you know, have their baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so they go off into the weeds in all kinds of areas with the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. When in reality, the Holy Spirit made it very clear what He meant. And we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why Pastor Shane and myself, we constantly say we need a historical, literal, grammatical, contextual study of the Word of God. Therefore, we're looking at this very, very carefully. Let me take you on to the next page. So who is to be filled? What are the subjects of the filling of the Spirit of God? Who is supposed to be doing this filling? Obviously, Jesus Christ fills us. And what does He want to accomplish? Well, look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. And hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. We are the body of Christ. And Jesus Christ wants to plero. He wants to fill us. And He does so en pneumati by the means of the Holy Spirit, a dative of means, not a dative of content. The fullness of Him that filleth all in all. He wants to fill all of you with what? The Spirit of God? Or Himself and what He is like? He wants to fill you with what Himself and what He is like. You are predestined to be conformed to the image of the Holy Spirit, right? No, you're predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. Let me ask you, and I mean this reverently and carefully, is the Holy Spirit, did He become incarnate and actually take on a physical form? The answer to that is no. Who did that in the Trinity for you? The Lord Jesus Christ. And so what does Hebrews tell us? For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Who is that? That's Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:5, for we have one mediator between God and man. Who is that mediator? It is the man Christ Jesus. Christ is the one who died for you. I'm not minimizing what the Holy Spirit does, and there are many layers to what the Spirit of God does. And we're going to be studying those in our Sunday school studies later on when I'm done with Job as we get back to pneumatology. But the point of the matter that I'm trying to say here is that Jesus Christ is the one who is going to fill us. He wants us to become like Him. Romans 8:29, for whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren, the firstborn of this kind. So, Christ's likeness is the goal. Let me read these for you for time's sake, and you can look them up, but let me read for you. You can look them up later. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. Now, who are we beholding? The Lord Jesus Christ. We're changed into the same image. Whose image? Christ's image. How is that done? It is on a daily basis. The Holy Spirit who indwells us takes the Word of God, convicts us to live like the Son of God, and to have us to become filled with Jesus Christ. And it's by the means of the Spirit that this is done. Listen. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. How are you changed into becoming like Jesus Christ?
by the Spirit of the Lord, by the means of the Spirit. So you see, if you don't understand what the fullness of the Spirit is, what the filling of the Spirit is, and in the world today they say, you know what, we need the fullness of the Spirit, and you know what you can do? Well, I can give divine utterances, and I can speak in tongues, and I can have the word of knowledge, and I can have all of those things. That's what the Spirit of God did for the early Christians to get out and disseminate the gospel before the completion of the New Testament. Now that that is completed, what is the role of the Holy Spirit on this earth in relation to His children? To make you like Jesus Christ. Pleroustē empneumatai. That you would be filled by the means of the indwelling Holy Spirit, by the Word of God. That is what He's going to use to make you like the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. What is the Spirit of God going to use in your life? More of Himself in some kind of mystical filling? Or is the Spirit of God simply who lives within you, who goes through your day with you, about the time you're going to sin, what is He going to do? He's going to remind you of a verse. He's going to have you sing a portion of a song that has truth in it. So that you become what? Filled up with Him? Or filled up with what Christ would do in that circumstance? You already know the answer. You see, when you begin to understand really what's going on, it really becomes clear, doesn't it? That's what the Spirit of God's trying to do in our lives. But you see, if you give it this counterfeit understanding that what I need today is let's all pray for the filling of the Spirit, and let's pray for the Spirit to come down from heaven and really meet with us in our service, and we can all be filled with the Spirit. Really, what that means is what we're asking God to do is by the means of the indwelling Holy Spirit cause us to understand the Word of God and to become like Christ because we live it. That's what the fullness by the means of the Spirit is. Listen again to this verse. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Galatians 4:19, my little children, whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. Until Christ be formed in you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That I may know Him, Philippians 10-13, that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things that which are before. What do? We pray for the fullness of the Holy Spirit? No, listen to what He says. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's in Christ Jesus. Paul says in verse 15, let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. God, the Holy Spirit, by the means of the Spirit, takes the Word of God, reminds you of the Word of God to become like the Son of God. So it's the Lord Jesus Christ who takes His written word and by the means of the indwelling Holy Spirit reminds you of what it is so that you can become like Jesus. That's what the fullness of the Holy Spirit is. Ephesians 4:13. Till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. The measure of the stature of the fullness of the Spirit? No. Until the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ in your life. There's our word again. Plero, plerousthē, the root word. There's our word again. The second thing God wants us to have in our lives is godliness. Godliness. 2 Peter 1:3, according as His divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of, who's the Him? Jesus Christ. Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us unto glory, and what's the last thing? Virtue. Well, who is virtue? The virtue of Him. And how's that going to happen? Well, 1 Timothy 4:7 says what? I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. The fight that I am engaged in, I am going to be energized to do that as the Spirit of God reminds me of the Word of God. How do I know that's true? Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you, energeto in the Greek. He's the one who's energizing you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So the Spirit of God says, oh, I'm about to sin in some way. And He reminds you of the Word of God. He brings that to your mind, your attention, the verses you've memorized, the sermons you've heard, the songs that you've sung. He brings that to your mind and He's telling you to stop your sin, listen to the verse, and become like Jesus. Become like Jesus. That is pleroustei en panoumatai. Grammatically, contextually, that is what it means. 1 Timothy 6:3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. How do you get godliness in your life? Is it being etherically, mystically, somehow filled with the Spirit of God? Well, look at what Paul says in 1 Timothy 6:3. Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ unto the doctrine which is according to godliness. So, how do you become like Jesus Christ? The Spirit of God that lives within you, the Parakletos, the one called alongside to help, He always reminds you of the Word of God so that you'll add to your life faith, virtue. 1 Peter 1 tells us about those things. Add to your life those things that are Christ-like and get out of your life those things that are sinful. And who is the one that is going to remind you of the Word and point you to Christ? God the Holy Spirit. That's His role. Now, who said that was His role? He did when He inspired the Word of God. So, I know it's popular to preach all of these things about the Holy Spirit. And this mystical, etherical, all of the, I know that that's popular, but brothers and sisters, it is not biblical. Don't listen to it. Do you see the multitude of these verses that are teaching you and reinforcing you, historically, literally, grammatically, and contextually? 2 Peter 1:3, according as His divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How? Through the fullness of the Spirit? No, listen to the... Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. So who is the one to remind us of that? The indwelling Holy Spirit. By the way, He said, I shall not exalt myself, I shall only speak of Him, is what He said in John 16:17. 2 Peter 1:6-7, add to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Holiness comes in this same exact process. Ephesians 5:25-27. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of the water of the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. 1 Peter 1:15-16. But as He which hath called you to be holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Who is that Holy One that He's called you to be like Him? Is that the Holy Spirit? No, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? I understand they're the same as far as God, but you need to understand the administration of the Trinity. And love, Mark 12:30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thine soul, and with all thine might, and with all thine strength. This is the first commandment. We are to be loving God and then knowing God. How are we to know God? Well, it tells us here in Isaiah 11:9, and they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The Spirit of God in the millennial kingdom is going to be used to cause the people of God to understand the word of the Lord. And what is the Holy Spirit doing in this dispensation in the church through the indwelling? Philippians 3:7-10, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them a dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. This is how we know God. These, by the way, are all called imperatives. That means that God has commanded us to do that. Imperatives call us to work on accelerating degrees of obedience. If you have not been growing in accelerating degrees of obedience, let me tell you what might be the problem. Is if you have a misunderstanding of what God the Holy Spirit is to do in your life, then you're going to have a mystical, kind of a magical understanding that, you know what, I get up in the morning and I go, Lord, I give myself to You and I want You to fill me, Holy Spirit, so I don't sin today. And if I can just be filled and to be consumed with the Spirit of God, then I know that I won't lust and I won't be angry and I won't argue and I won't. And so you've rested on a concept about the Holy Spirit which does not even exist in the Bible. And thus they fail. Thus they fail. Because pleroustein pneumatai, being filled with the Spirit, means that as the Spirit of God indwells you and you go through your day, it means that, Jesus, I want to let Your mind be in you, me. I want to become more like You. And the Spirit of God, and remember we said it was passive voice. It's not something you cause to happen. He does it because He lives in you. He will speak to you. Now, there's two things you can do. You can grieve Him and silence Him. You can quench what He's trying to do in your life, but He is going to speak to you. If you listen, He will speak to you. And what is He going to speak to you with? The Word of God. By the means of the Spirit, He will take the Word of God and fill you to be what? Christ will fill you with Himself. To be like the Son of God. So, 1 Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God. By the way, what is that? You see what it says there? That's an imperative, isn't it? That's a command. God says, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. That's the part of you that responds to God, small s, which are God's. They belong to God. Who do they belong? By the way, who purchased you here? Did the Holy Spirit do that? Well, obviously He was involved, but who died on the cross for you? The Lord Jesus Christ. And it's so that you can become like the Lord Jesus Christ, to let His mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So there are several things, and we're not going to spend time on this. Don't engage in sinful anger. Love your wives. And I just gave these as an example. They're New Testament imperatives. Here's a whole list of other New Testament imperatives that you can look up when you get home. But pleroustein pneumatai, and be filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is a command from God for all of you in this room. But my heart is heavily grieved because there are entire denominations who do not understand the Word of God's teaching in this area. There are entire denominations. I was talking with a pastor not too long ago, and he was asking about our ministry, and he said, I've heard of you, and you're preaching and fishing for men and stuff. And he was coming from a holiness charismatic background, and I said, yeah, the greatest difference between you and me is really pneumatology, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And he goes, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. That's the difference between us. They misunderstand the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Many of the preachers, if you listen to the radio station, many even of the pastors within Baptist fundamentalism do not know what the fullness of the Holy Spirit is because they have not studied this out. Therefore, I placed in your hands this material. By the way, the research person that did this was the research assistant to D.A. Carson. It was one of my doctoral instructors who had 2 earned doctorates before he was 30 years of age. I don't mean that that is a cure-all for everything. I don't. I mean to say that he was a scholar. And he was the one who clearly enumerated this material to me and studied it out myself and been examining. This is the truth of what God is teaching us about the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So let me recap simply. Every day of your life, the Spirit of God that indwells you wants to take the Word of God, and it is by Him working in your spirit and soul and body. And that's why 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be sanctified and become blameless before our Lord Jesus Christ." It is the Spirit of God who takes the Word of God, reminds your mind to think like Christ, live like Christ, witness like Christ, act like Christ, let this mind be in you, because the goal is so that you can be conformed to the image of what Jesus Christ looked like on this earth. So the Spirit of God is not some ethereal, some special, some power, some unique, some all of a sudden takes away the desire, eradicates your will, makes you to be a perfectionist. None of those things are true. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God, convicts you, energizes you, illumines you, motivates you to become like the Son of God. You become like the Lord Jesus Christ by the means of the Holy Spirit. And that's where service to God begins, being Christ-like. That's where living for God begins. So it's not some mystical, I'm waiting for the power to descend on me by the fullness of the Spirit of God so I can live victoriously over sin. That will never happen because God is not the author of that. God the Holy Spirit said, "I will remind you of the Word of God so that you can become like the Son of God. I will teach you what the Word of God means. I will remind you what it means. I will illumine your understanding, all so that you can let this mind be in you." That is the ministry of the Spirit of God. Brothers and sisters, pleroustai en pneumatai. That is the meaning of be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, I really wish this room was full because this truth needs to be communicated to a lot of believers who are synthesizing some mystical aspect of the Spirit of God to live in such a way that I know you, Lord Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit are not going to accomplish in their lives because you never taught that. Lord, I have tried to carefully communicate to the minds of your people exactly what your word says, what you, as God the Holy Spirit, placed in the Word of God, tried to communicate that accurately. Help your people to accept this biblical model and live it out. And as a result of it, dear Lord Jesus, by the means of the Spirit, become more like you through submitting and obeying the Word of God. We pray in Jesus' name.